CodeWinds, Episode 9. Spike Brehm of Airbnb discusses how we can share more code between the browser and server at JSConf 2014. Welcome to the CodeWinds podcast, where we cover leading-edge web developer news and training with an emphasis on Node, JavaScript, and HTML5. My name is Jeff Barczewski, and I am here to help you navigate the winds of change. In this episode, I caught up with Spike Brehm of Airbnb at JSConf 2014 to discuss the holy grail of JavaScript programming, or namely, how we can share more code on both the browser and the server. The links and show notes for this podcast are available at codewinds.com/9, as in episode 9. Let's get started. All right, today I'm speaking with Spike Brehm. He's a software engineer for Airbnb, and he is preparing to have a talk today at JSConf for isomorphic JavaScript. So, Spike, tell me a little bit about isomorphic JavaScript.
Sure. So isomorphic JavaScript, it's kind of a funny term, but basically iso, if you break down the word a bit, iso means same, morph means form. So just the idea is that you're able to share code, share JavaScript code between different environments, different platforms. And so I'm primarily interested in sharing code between the client and the server. So, you know, the web browser and Node.js. But there's a lot of other platforms you could imagine sharing between. There's Narwhal these days, which is the new Java 8 JavaScript runtime. There's native platforms, Android and iOS. There's devices, like these little hardware devices running JavaScript. So many things run JavaScript these days. And you could imagine trying to share some business logic or you know, any kind of logic or templates between these. But today I'm really going to be focusing on client and server.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, I think I think a lot of people have always had the hope that we could share more and more things client and server. And I think that's one of the nice things about Node and Narwhal and these other things is being able to use the same language both places, so then you don't have to keep switching context on how things work with one language versus another. And I think it's just becoming more and more possible these days. So, what's your take on how the state of the art in technology as far as sharing? Is it difficult? Is it hard? I mean, are there certain types of tools we want to use to make that easier?
Sure. Well, it's pretty easy these days to share a little bit of code between different environments, and so there's a number of tools that have popped up in libraries and even web frameworks that help you do this, and. But I want to emphasize that it's a spectrum. So you could be sharing just like one little module or one little template between the client and the server, or you could be sharing your entire like application runtime, which is what some apps do. And that's much more difficult. It gets much more complex the further you go along that spectrum.
Yeah.
But the simple case is pretty easy, and we do this a lot at Airbnb. And our approach mostly revolves around Browserify.
Okay.
So Browserify is an awesome library. It's a tool that lets you package up your common JS modules into a browser bundle.
Yeah.
And that in itself is cool, and there's other tools that do that, but what's really great about Browserify is that it can also package up npm modules. Anything in your node modules directory can be packaged into a bundle that's for the browser.
Wow.
And so there's a million different examples of things that could work like that. Like one simple example is Cookie, and on npm there's a module called Cookie, and it's used in hundreds of other modules, but it's the cookie parsing and serialization library that's used by, for example, Express and Connect.
Okay.
And it's just a simple, you know, couple hundred lines of code that lets you parse and set cookies, and it handles all the edge cases and it's battle tested, right?
Right.
And it's pretty common that you might have to set cookies on the client and on the server.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you could do with Browserify and npm, if you were to say like var cookie equals require cookie, and that was in your node modules, Browserify would package that up and you could use that totally on the client side. And so that's like the basic technique.
Yeah.
But it can get more complicated.
Uh-huh.
I see there's kind of two categories of okay. isomorphic code.
Yeah.
There's code that's like environment agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't depend on environment at all. So
yeah.
it just deals with primitives, right? Strings, functions, objects, arrays.
Yeah. Okay.
So a good example of that is like most templating languages, like Handlebars or Jade yeah. or whatever.
Right.
It's pretty trivial to use that on the client or the server because it's not touching like the window object or, you know, the request or response objects on the server.
Yeah.
It's just outputting a string. So that's, you know, something like that or like underscore or promise libraries, a lot of things you can just use
yeah.
in different environments. But the kind of the more interesting example is there's environments that are shimmed, provide shims for mm-hmm. different environments.
Yeah.
Or sorry, modules that provide shims for different environments.
Okay.
So they can expose the same API for the client and the server, but underneath their kind of there's different implementations for the different
yeah. Okay. Right.
The different environments. And so there's some examples here, but Super Agent is a really cool example.
Okay.
Super Agent is an HTTP client library.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
lets you make HTTP requests.
Okay.
But what's great about it is it's the same API on the client and the server.
Oh, perfect.
So you can make a GET request, you can inspect the response headers.
Right.
And
right.
you can send post data and, you know, upload files, all
yeah.
this stuff.
Good.
And probably most of us are used to using jQuery.ajax
right.
on the client side.
Right. Yes.
And then on the server side, in Node, there's like a million different mm-hmm. Options, but basically the HTTP module. And so Super Agent wraps that and
yeah.
there it actually provides two different implementations.
Okay.
Based on environment. And,
yeah. So then as a developer, you can come in, learn one API really well and, mm-hmm. and then be able to use that on both sets of code and,
yep.
and that works out great. So, and depending upon, you know, you might be doing stuff, requests from the server to another server. Mm-hmm. And so that would be come in handy, or if you're making Ajax requests from the browser, then you can use the same thing. So
yep.
that sounds really good.
And there's some more, larger frameworks to help you do this.
Uh-huh.
So we've at Airbnb, we've open sourced something called Render, R-E-N-D-R.
Okay.
And it lets you take a Backbone application and pull it back to the server. So you can share your Backbone views and collections and models. And so the idea is it's a full single-page app once you get booted up in the client side. But the server side, you can render any page from the server, the full page rendered on the server. And it uses Express on the server. So what's so great about it is that first page load is super fast.
Yeah.
That's like one of the main reasons to do this kind
right,
of thing.
Right.
That's super fast because you get that full page of HTML.
Yeah.
And SEO is better.
Yeah.
Although the crawlers are getting more advanced these days.
Yeah, but, sure. Yeah.
And then, but to any single deep link in your app,
yeah.
it can handle that.
That's perfect. Yeah.
And so that's one that we've built. Yahoo has been doing a lot of this actually. If you look at the new Flickr site, it's all isomorphic. So
okay.
the photos pages, they render on the client or on the server really
yeah.
seamlessly.
Wow.
And they're using a bunch of libraries called Modown.
Okay.
M-O-D-O-W-N, Modown.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's a kind of loosely coupled collection of libraries that help you do this.
Yeah.
And they're doing this, like Yahoo is really leading the charge, which is awesome.
Uh-huh.
The homepage, a lot of different, like the... You know, they've got like sports and they've got a million web properties, but they're moving a lot of them to that. And then there's another great one would be Meteor.
Okay. Yeah.
So Meteor's a popular project. It's awesome. It's mm-hmm. really advanced. It's all real-time app framework.
Yeah.
And they've got a different approach to isomorphic JavaScript.
Okay.
They don't do server-side rendering yet,
mm-hmm.
although it's on their roadmap.
Okay.
But what's so great about what they do is you write modules. And you write like a server component and a client component, and it just all kind of works.
Uh-huh.
And they use some static analysis to figure out like which variables get exported to the client versus to the server, and it's like it's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that shows how powerful this concept is.
Yeah. Awesome. That's great. So so how would you recommend that people that are wanting to get started with isomorphic JavaScript are using in both places, templates and libraries and things like that? Is there a good place that kind of documents these things, or should or where would they start with? I mean, other than the ones you mentioned so far,
yeah.
where's a good place to start?
That's a good question. I was Googling around and I found there's some sort of isomorphic js.org or something, or I don't know what the domain name is, but there's someone actually created a website that, that chronicles a lot of these different libraries.
Okay.
I've got some resources on my website.
Okay.
Spike.technology.
Spike.technology. All right. Awesome.
And I'm going to just compile a list of some isomorphic resources. But there's a lot. So, yeah, definitely look at Browserify.
Okay.
Meteor. React is really cool.
Yeah.
So React is getting a lot of press these days for being a great UI component library.
Uh-huh.
And we're starting to use it at Airbnb. But one of the great features of React, in my opinion, is that it can do server-side rendering really well.
Uh-huh.
So it can either emit HTML for the server, or it can emit DOM nodes for the client side.
Okay.
And then the hardest part is something that they've figured out. So one thing that's really hard about trying to serve up a full page of HTML and then turn it into a single page app is that the naive thing to do is to render a bunch of HTML on the server, serve it up, and then when the client side bootstraps, you would render all that again and throw away what's there and replace it.
Oh, right,
That's like the naive, easy thing to do.
Right.
The hard thing to do is to reattach to what's there.
Yeah.
And then kind of attach all your event handlers and get all that working.
Yeah.
But React does that out of the box.
Oh, wow.
And so
that's great.
Facebook's used React isomorphically. Uh-huh. Instagram.com is actually written in React.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a Django app, so it's a Python app on the server.
Yeah.
But for a while, they had a Node service that ran on the box, on the Python box, and it would render everything server-side. So there's like some really interesting things you can do there
as
well.
Yeah,
so definitely look at React.
Okay, Browserify. Yeah, and I forgot, I mean, Browserify basically is opening up so much of NPM to you. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, and probably not everything, but I mean, you know, a lot of your modules are going to work just magically in the browser. So that's good. Okay. So we'll put links to the show in the show notes to spike.technology and any other resources that if you find any in the meantime, you can send me.
Sure.
And I'll put links in there. But how would people follow you on your website? Is there any other good place to follow you online? Or
Twitter's the best.
Okay.
Spike Brehm, SPIKEBREHM.
Okay.
Was the Twitter handle.
Awesome.
And I try to stay up on those things.
Yeah, I think it's an exciting space, and I think that I'm glad that you're here at JSConf to explain more to us and to start to share, because I think that's always been the holy grail. I think people have always wanted to do, you know, share code, share, you know, and we've been able to do that small ways before, but I think it's growing and growing now. We can do more and more every year. So
absolutely.
I appreciate you being here, Spike, to take the time to explain this, and we look forward to your talk today.
Cool. Thanks, Jeff.
I hope you've enjoyed this interview with Spike Brehm discussing sharing JavaScript code across the browser and server. The links and show notes are available at codewinds.com/9. If you would like to keep up on the latest in web developer news and training, follow me on codewinds.com, where I have a podcast, blog, and video training covering Node and JavaScript. Until next time, this is Jeff Barczewski with CodeWinds. Music by Audionautix.com.